Turn your Bibles to John chapter 15. It is always a privilege to preach God's word and to be able to just open God's word with fellow believers. I enjoy preaching evangelistically and preaching for whether it's kids, for whether it's a children's revival or a junior church and things like that. And you always assume there are unsaved people in there. But in a Bible college setting, there may be unsaved people that have wandered in here today or that are in school. But typically, this is more of a didactic message and where we can just open God's word and look in this passage. And it is a blessing to be able to do so here today. You know, many of you, don't necessarily know this about me, but I spend a lot of time gardening and farming. My wife's parents has a farm above Charleston, and we go up there every weekend and throughout the spring and the summer. This past year even, I did a lot of gardening. Last year, I planted 100 pounds of potatoes, just one thing that we planted, and I've got 1,000 pounds return in the fall. This year I planted more potatoes and I got about 50 pounds return after our drought. But I enjoy doing those things, and the concept even of growing and being planted servants and being fruitful, is something that has so many analogies and illustrations that we could talk about and use. But picture this with me. Picture a gardener that has vines that are starting to produce, fewer and fewer grapes every year. So in the spring, he tends to those and he trims and prunes many of the leaves off of them, and the green leaves and some leaves maybe that are browning and not working, but ones that are competing for light and to almost looks like he took a weed eater to it and just kind of butchered that plant. And the onlookers look at that and say, what is going on here? How is this helping this plant? He's killing this. And the gardener understands that pruning really is essential for this growth. So as the weeks pass and the vine begins to grow again and to flourish, fresh buds appear and clusters of ripe grapes start coming throughout the summer, heavier and more abundantly than previously that plant was able to produce. I grew up, we had grapevines around the house, and we had some sections where we didn't want grapes there anymore, and we just started cutting them down and then mowed over it and planted it and kept it for many years just as grass. But if you look, and as the grass starts to get high, you'd see these little leafy, viney things coming up there where, they would come back. And then if left alone, then those vines that are roots that are there, as they grow, they will come back and produce, more fruit. This mirrors our spiritual life. Just as the vine with grapes needs pruning to thrive, you must let go of what hinders you spiritually and unhealthy habits and relationships, and to realize that God, the divine gardener, is caring and pruning and placing things in your life that will take away more and more of those leaves or those vines even that are distracting or not profitable and unhealthy even in your relationship. This is uncomfortable for us at times, but this creates more space for a renewed fruit to produce in our lives, in a renewed, deeper faith. We need to trust in His hand, the master gardener, that He cuts away, while it may be painful for us, this leads to a greater abundance in your life. Let's look here now at the passage as we look at 1 John chapter 15. I'm going to read the first several verses here and follow along with me. Verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. We see here in verse 2, you know, the word, you know, prune, that's in there. This is to prune or to cleanse. You know, this is the word, the root, where you get catharsis from. And in verse 3 even, the word cleanse there is also that word catharsis. John 13, as we read part of that for meditation already, but back earlier in the chapter, verse 10 and 11, Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needs not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore, and said, you are not all clean. Same word here that's used in that catharsis or that pruning, that purging in your life. As we look here and we see this passage, it's a very great picture and vivid illustration of the understanding that we see of this example of a planted vine tree, a living vegetation that has a root system that helps it to get the nourishment and the things that it needs. You know, we think of the word abide and to be abiding. That's just to dwell or to continue, to remain, to be steadfast, to endure. Here in John 15, according to Wiest, the abiding of the Christian in Christ refers to your maintaining unbroken fellowship with Christ. So in order to be a planted servant, you must intimately abide in Christ for increased fruitfulness. For spiritual productivity in your ministry, you need to abide in the Lord intimately in four areas. Now you can highlight these areas in your Bible or note these as we look at four key phrases and words even particularly as we work down through this passage. So first, the area that we look at here of abiding in Christ increases your meditation. So in verse 7, it says, my words abide in you. That is, if we are virtually united and my message lives in your heart, is the amplified translation of that. To meditate means to think deeply or focus one's mind for a while in silence or reciting out loud, to muse, meet or derive from measure, to ponder deeply, which is what you do in class, right? Ponder deeply what the teacher is saying. I know in a lot of my classes, I allow students to use laptops and they sit there and they're only, you know, studying, listening to my class, and they're carried away, and you see them typing along, and it's like I'll stop and say, you know, I'm not really saying anything that needs to be written down, so I hope you get a good grade on that paper you're writing for your next class. Or how's sports going? You're looking at ESPN while you're back there. So, you know, we think about pondering in class. We think about thinking deeply, but we should with God's Word, and to carefully plan, to carefully study, and to look at. You know, we should meditate daily on God's Word, obviously, for all Christians, but particularly those even in Bible college. You know, to think about His person, His power, His plan, His purposes, even, you know, in our life. You know, I also have a sawmill, and I cut a lot of trees and mill boards to use in woodworking. I want you to consider a story here, you know, about, you know, a tree. You know, this is a massive ancient oak tree that we run across even at our farm. On the fence lines, you'll look at and see trees that are standing that have been there for several hundred years. It's just amazing and powerful to see. And someone, you know, gave us the reverse of that, where you see the root system, how big that is underneath of all that. But this ancient tree standing in this big field, you know, this tree has, you know, these deep roots that go underground, drawing nutrients and water from the earth. The branches stretch wide, providing shelter for, you know, lots of creatures as well. The oak produces nuts every year that fall to the ground, nurturing new life and contributing back again to the ecosystem. Now imagine a small sapling that is standing there and growing, you know, below that tree. It's recently sprouted. It has young, tender shoots, and the elements are, you know, giving it, you know, trouble a lot of times, whether it's the sun, whether it's the wind, whether it's the drought that we experienced even this year. And one day the sapling finds itself, you know, even leaning over against that mighty ancient oak. And it begins to absorb the nutrients from that extensive ecosystem and that fertile soil there of that big oak. And it is the branches of that oak and the leaves protect it from the elements and from the sun scorching it there in the drought. As time passes, this sapling flourishes. It grows taller. It grows stronger. And all because it was planted and abides in the presence of this huge oak. You know, the deep connection to its challenging environment, you know, drawing from the older established tree system helps it to be able to flourish and to grow. You know, this story, even, we look at it, we think about how it illustrates what it means to be abiding in Christ, as we see here in this passage. These verses here, 4 and 5, Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you." You know, just like the sapling relies on this large oak, we too can draw strength and nourishment from our relationship with Christ. When we stay close to Him, you know, especially during times of storm or drought in our lives, we will find protection and support and the resources needed to grow spiritually. You know, the illustration of the sapling breaks down because it's not actually tapped in directly to the root system. It's just using that ecosystem and the soil to help it in the shade of this. Where with Christ, we are connected directly to Him. You know, abiding isn't just a passive act. It requires intention and trust. We lean into our faith. We cultivate resilience and fruitfulness in our lives and becoming a source of nourishment and shelter for others, even in our community, as we grow and as we become strong, even in Christ. We think about meditation here. It's more than just reading or praying. You know, it's reflecting on God and His will deeply. Instead of just being amused by the world, we are thinking, we are meditating on Christ, in His Word, in His will for our life. We see the idea to meditate on the Word, Colossians 3:16, which you know, familiar passage. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. You know, this is to dwell or to live as in a temple. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." You know, this understanding here of Joshua 1:8 is the idea of true holiness. Holiness is your main ministry in your life. This is above everything else, your family, your job, whether it's counseling or teaching or even preaching. The Word is always to be on your mind. It's always to be on your heart, and therefore it should be on your lips as you reflect Christ everywhere that you go. Observe to do here, we see, is just simply obedience. Careful to do according to all that is written in God's Word. You know, Wiest explains it, that meditation is the beginning of a life of growth in spiritual fruitfulness. You depend on Him for spiritual energy as that vine or that oak to produce fruit in your life through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You know, we already quoted Psalm 1, but to think about that and that concept, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Verse 3, what is he? He shall be that tree that is planted. Planted where? In the desert? No. By the living water, to be able to nourish and feed and to give it what it needs to be able to continually grow. You know, somewhere along the line, someone told me, you know, you have time for what you make time for. I think I was practicing the cello at the time and told my instructor I didn't have time. And they said, "You have time for what you make time for." And I said, "That's true. I'm not going to play the cello anymore." You know, so don't recommend that. But I had little babies at home and I'd rather spend time holding my babies than practicing the cello for 4 hours a night. But as we think about that, you know, is it a priority in your life to producing more spiritual fruit or more worldly fruit? You must intimately abide in Christ for increased fruitfulness, you know, in these key areas. Your intimacy with the Lord should not only include your meditation, but also, secondly, abiding in Christ increases your praying. And we see here, you know, in several of these verses, verse 7, 8 that we read, also we see in verse 16 how you shall ask. "Ask anything and it shall be done." If you are abiding in Him, then God, you know, will, you know, answer those prayers that we have. We don't get our prayers answered a lot of times because we don't ask. We don't pray as much as we should, even developing that relationship with Christ. Now, Billy was a young boy. He admired his father's carpentry skills, and he dreamed of building his own things. He wanted to build a big, elaborate treehouse. And he came to his father, and he said, "Hey, you know, Dad, you know, can I have some tools, and can I, you know, go and start and do this treehouse, you know, on my own?" And the father said, "Well, Billy, no, we need to prepare." So he took several days and helped him with the tools. He showed him the safety features on them and how to use them properly so that he could build that treehouse. And then when Billy was ready, you know, the dad with him, and helped him build this treehouse, and they had fun and they laughed and learned a lot of lessons as they went on with that. And we think about that. That story also reflects verse 7, where Jesus invites us to ask for our desires if we abide in him. You know, like Billy, you know, we often want to just, you know, grab stuff and go and start things and not being prepared as we have dreams and plans and things like that. But God wants us to be equipped first. The process of learning and growing deepens our relationship with him, which again, there's nothing hardly that you can learn here at ABC that you couldn't learn on your own through a book or through watching videos and doing those things. But by doing that here, the preparation to back your calling is on steroids. You know, because if you were on your own, you wouldn't be probably as diligent, you wouldn't be doing the things as much as you should. But a call to ministry is always a call to prepare. And as we learn and as we grow, we come, in a sense, in that crucible of learning so that God can help us, God can grow us, God can prune us so that we can have much fruit even produced in our life. You should be able to talk to the Lord about most, you know, your most, even your most intimate problems or sin areas in your life, to develop your relationship by communication. Just like with any other relationship, the more that you talk, the more that you grow connected even to that person, and also the more that you're able to know more and to understand that person, whether it's a husband and wife relationship, a sibling, or just a friend relationship. You know, we need to be communicating and understanding as we talk to God so that we can understand his will and his word more in our life. And then not only ask anything and it shall be done if you are abiding in him, but also ask in the name of Christ. If he is your Savior, you will be producing fruit in your life. Verse 16, we see, bring forth fruit as my representative in the Amplified, that you should be rich in good works, faithful and successful, you know, in spreading the gospel. You know, this was the great business, you know, of the apostles and disciples, and they were set apart for this work, and they faithfully accomplished that. And also, you know, this is the great end to which all of us as believers are saved. You know, we're not to be idle and to be useless or to simply seek enjoyment. It is to do good and to spread as far and wide as possible the rich spiritual blessings which the gospel has given to mankind. You as a Christian should be devoted to the Savior for life. The Savior doesn't call a disciple to serve him merely for part of his life, and then you could stop. Or suppose you to be a Christian when your religion produces no fruit. Fruitfulness comes from being his representative. God answers prayers when you live out your purpose in him. We are saved to bear fruit. God will answer our prayers and align with his mission our lives as we abide in him. John 14, 13 to 14 says, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. You know, develop a personal relationship with God through prayer, asking him for strength to serve and to bear fruit for him. In 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, pray without ceasing. But you know, we are also to serve without quitting in our dependence upon God. You must intimately abide in Christ for increased fruitfulness. The intimacy needed for fruitfulness not only includes meditation and asking, But also, thirdly, abiding in Christ increases your love. We see this, the idea of that word, you know, love or love one another. Verse 9, continue. You must continue in my love. This is, you know, an aorist imperative, a command given at a specific point in the past. You know, it seems like today love, you know, is the missing note in our churches. And we could park here and spend a lot of time. Matter of fact, we can go back to, you know, chapter 13 and all the way throughout the Gospel of John and preach series here on this idea of love. 1 John 3:16 and 17 says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good and sees his brother have need and shuts up his heart of compassion for him, how dwell the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You know, look at verse 12 and 13 here of John 15. It says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And verse 17, these things I command you, that ye love one another. You know, we are to love in word as we communicate verbally to people. Mark 12, 30 says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. You know, to show love in word, as the first commandment instructs, means to express your devotion to God with every part of your being, your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength. Here's how it can be manifested, you know, through words, as we walk about and talk to people. You know, it could be praise and worship. You know, Lord, I praise you with all my heart, for you are my strength and my salvation. You are worthy of all honor and glory. It could be in prayer and petition. Father, I come before you today with a humble heart, seeking your presence and guidance in all things. I offer my life to you, knowing that you will, your will is perfect and your love is unending. It could be in confession or repentance. Lord, I confess that I have fallen short of your glory. Forgive me, cleanse me, and renew my spirit so that I can live in a way that honors you. It could be an encouragement and affirmation to somebody. May the peace of God guide your heart and your mind today, and may his love guide your steps in all that you do. It could be living the word. Ultimately, your words reflect the love you have for God and how you speak truth and kindness and wisdom in everyday conversations, living out his teachings even in our speech. May I speak words that bring life and peace, reflecting your love, Lord, in every conversation I have. Each word, whether in prayer, praise, daily conversation, should echo a heart, you know, fully devoted to God. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, Luke 6:45. So showing love in word is to speak with purpose, with reverence, and with gratitude to the one who has loved us first. We're also to love in deeds. If we habitually keep his commandments, 1 John 2, you know, 3 through 6 says, by this we know that we abide in him, if we have that love. Love is a thing that sometimes we think is flowery or just uber kind to everybody. But sometimes love has to be strong. Love has to have boundaries. Love has to come across in a way that may hurt somebody. But we try to do it, you know, in the right spirit as we do that. The phrase, "If you love me, keep my commandments," in John 14, 15, suggests that true love for Christ is expressed through obedience to his teachings. An illustration of love and deeds could be depicted in several ways. It could be, you know, a father's love with his child, a gardener tending to his beloved garden, a teacher and a student that they are trying to mentor, or a shepherd caring for sheep. You know, think about a shepherd, you know, guiding and protecting his flock of sheep. The sheep trust the shepherd and follow his lead because they know he loves them. And this shepherd has the best interest of the sheep in their heart. Similarly, believers follow Christ's commands because of their trust and love for him. God wants what is best for you more than you can imagine or want for yourself. But God's love has to grow in you in order for that to grow out of you in that fruit of love as you abide in him and share that love back to him and to others as well. You know, we're to express to the Lord your love for him by obeying him. The more the relationship is cherished, the more committed the obedience becomes. And then we're to love in truth. By loving others, we see that we are to love him. The meditation verse even that we read, "Love one another. By this you will know that you are my disciples." Therefore, what is that love? 1 John 3:19, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him." Love as giving your life, your goods, your services, your abilities, your resources, your ministry, your discipleship to others. You know, life is for service if you are planted and connected to the divine vine, the true source of life. You know, I used an illustration about being connected to the source in a chapel, in elementary school, in an elementary chapel, you know, several years ago. And I took a piano lamp and then a pair of wire cutters or side cuts, and I had to turn all the lights off in the auditorium, and I cut that wire with those side cuts, and it arced and had pretty sparks and everything, and the light instantly went out, and it melted the side of the wire cutters as well. But we think about that, how you cut off the source, there is no power. As a kid, I'd swing on grapevines. We'd cut them off about waist high and then swing out over a ravine with them and stuff. But, you know, as soon as I cut that grapevine, what does it become? It's a rope, just like the cord now does not hook to the power. It is a rope, and it is useless to deliver that. We must be connected to Christ in everything that we do. And then, finally, we look here and see that this brings us even to our fourth point. You must intimately abide and remain in Christ for increased fruitfulness. The word "keep" here in verse 10, abiding in Christ increases your obedience. You know, keep my commands, we can highlight there. We've already talked about, you know, serving constantly and for life, and that is what God's plan is for us. But many times we know much about God, but we do not know God in an intimate relationship. As a strong, growing Christian, you know, you must obey God's will, his word, his way actively in your life. Discipleship is simply bearing much fruit. And we have to get there. We have to grow there till we're ready to do that. Now, you think of a sapling, you know, even growing in a field somewhere. You know, it's going to grow up. It's going to get the nourishment that it needs. And as even a gardener helps it over time, it gets to the place that it's bearing fruit. But guess what? That fruit doesn't do anything for that tree. That fruit is to be for other creatures or people to be able to use those apples and that fruit. In this way, a disciple grows in maturity, not for their own benefit, but to serve others. The fruit of a disciple's life, the acts of service, love and kindness, evangelism is meant to bless others and advance God's work. The more the disciple abides in Jesus, the more the Holy Spirit shapes them to bear good fruit. Look down in verse 11, where we see this here. These things, have I given you. Verse 11, that your joy must remain in you because of your loving service in life. You know, for you to be a disciple, you must be bearing a good amount of fruit in your spiritual life. And if you're to be making disciples, then you must be training others to be bearing much fruit as well. By the way, even here in chapter 16, we look at verse 1, and it says the same thing here when it talks about these things, that I tell you, these things that I teach you, this love that you have, this obedience to my commands is so that you don't fall, that you don't stumble. there was a big tree. Let me show you this here. This big tree fell down here outside of Barker. It was the spring break of 23, and some of you still here saw that tree. And I cut this tree up. I cut up firewood out of the branches with that. And then ultimately, I milled the boards and had them cut in different various pieces for that. I made several things. I built a shed, a 14-foot by 6-foot shed out of that. I built a headboard for a bedroom, a changing table, an end table, a fireplace mantle, a conference table, bookshelves, cutting boards, and other things, not including all of there's some of the boards there, is there slabs there against the barn, but the firewood that was cut even out of that and was used to heat house. Your life should continue to produce in the lives of others, even maybe after your life is gone here, as this oak is still productive. We think about these four words here, how that we abide in our meditating, and that increases that, but also as we meditate, it increases our abiding, and the same with our praying and our loving and our obeying. You must intimately abide in Christ to bear much fruit. Fruitfulness in the Christian life is not optional. If you're not growing, then you are shrinking spiritually. Make a choice today to intimately abide in the Lord. Commit to abiding in Him through one or all of these areas for His glory, so that you can bear much fruit as a planted servant. Let's pray. Lord, we love You and thank You again for all that You do, God. Help us to prune away distractions and unhealthy habits in our life, God, that You would be with our students, Lord, and our faculty and staff to help us, Lord, to live for You, to serve You, to please You. Lord, to realize what steps can we make today to abide more deeply in Christ. Lord, I pray that You would just give us strength to grow in intimacy with Christ and to bear fruit that honors You. In Jesus' name.